This is the Penobscot Bay Report. I'm Ron Huber. On August 22nd, Rockland's poet laureate Kendall Merriam came to WRFR studio and both read from his works and discussed his life and the present-day situation in Rockland, where plans to bring an industrial gas plant into the city have run into stiff opposition despite a complacent city government. The interview is 23 minutes long. Kendall Merriam, a well-known name in a lot of Rocklanders, and hopefully into a lot more Rocklanders by the end of the show here. He has taken the opportunity to come by and pay us a visit here at the Penobscot Bay Report, and we're looking forward to that. And what has brought him to my attention right now, although, of course, his poems seem to be ubiquitous in bookstores and other places, is something he wrote that was recently published concerning the big gas plant, which is all the talk of the town here. That's something that's always admirable in a poet, that is to both to look at the greater universalities and mundanities, but also those things which are troubling the community as well. And that takes some courage. And so I'm going to tell you a little bit about him, because I'd rather you learn about him from listening to him himself. He's a poet, playwriter, humorist. As we'll find out. Early titles was a collaboration with Mark Melnikov, The Uncensored Guide to Maine, back in 1984. And a longtime resident of Richmond, Mr. Mary was born in Rockland, has returned to that city. Thank goodness. Well, tell you what, welcome to the show here. I'm glad to have you on here. So, since you were born here, and then why'd you leave?
College. And it was a good thing to go to college. Not from what I learned, but that's where I met my wife, Phyllis.
Okay.
She didn't want to be there. She wanted to be in art school. But anyway, we got together, and September 24th will be our 49th wedding anniversary.
Well, congratulations. I'm afraid my wedding didn't quite last that long, although we're still friends. In fact, I'd have to say divorce brought us together. But anyway, well, congratulations on that in this time of many marriages not lasting all that long.
Yeah. I have a couple poems, political poems, that I didn't understand how much about the sea that your show has, and I'm wondering if I could read one poem about that. That's, I think, one of my favorites, and other people like it. It's called A Day of Fog and Beauty for Shubhra Chand, who is an artist in India, woman. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote this for her. A Japanese painting closed in. I cannot see the ocean 100 yards away. From across the world comes beauty, unexpectedly, on a machine I do not understand. Life here in Maine is mostly silent, except for tourists proudly wearing their museum badges. I like the silence. It helps me think, though music aids. I have only approached a typewriter a few times since August 6, when God slowed traffic to a walk for 3 hours in memory of Hiroshima. After the walk passed, we all forgot again and went about our work with a mild sense of irritation. I have a terrible burden, a historical memory. Helps me remember what some people think is very inconvenient. Tonight the fog lingers. I can see nothing. And that's a very true story. Actually, I was driving Phyllis in to Maine Medical to have a knee operation. And we got to Freeport and traffic just stopped. And what had happened, a trailer truck loaded with sawdust, the wood products, had flipped, blocking the southbound lane, and the cab was blocking the other lane and had a lot of gasoline, so we had to wait 3 hours.
Pretty solid blockage there.
Yeah, but she did get the operation that day. Oh, the doctors waited for her. And,
described a terrible burden.
I know about Hiroshima. Basically, what I try to write is poems for peace. Mm-hmm. I've been a lifelong Democrat, but I could not vote for Obama either time because he said he was going to continue and enlarge the war. I just couldn't do it, and I still don't support, you know, the Democratic Party or the Republican one who say they're going to build, you know, bigger war machines. In fact, there was something in the Portland Press Herald today that the Koch brothers are going to be supporting Jeb Bush because he wants an expanded military. I think the military should be abolished, except for the Coast Guard. And the people that listen to you know, understand that. And we have some of the best students in the country going to the various military academies. Mm-hmm. What I would like to see is stop that and have the best artists, writers, and stuff in high schools all over the country and private schools be going to schools like that, not with discipline, but with creativity. And, you know, I don't think we need military.
It sounds to me like we're not going to fight our way out of the world's problems, but if we're creative enough, we may find a way around them.
Yeah, and I also very strongly feel, and I've written several poems about this, that it's got to be the women who are going to do it because the men just will not give up their trigger fingers.
Yes, and that chest pounding must be the top.
Right.
Oh.
It's, anyway... That's what I feel very strongly.
Well, I have to say that.
I am a veteran. I was in the Army for 3 months and 22 days, never touched a gun, never wore a uniform, and I was beaten because I wouldn't sign a list of blank list of names and drug, which I'm still on drugs. Mm. And so I'm just... not afraid. That's the one thing the military taught me was not to be afraid, you know, no matter how badly I was treated. And so they gave me a chance to either stay in or get out with an honorable discharge. So, you know, my wife, Phyllis, before we were married, you know, was hoping, you know, that I would get out. And the reason I enlisted was her father was an Army chaplain, and I wanted to impress him enough to let me marry his daughter. And she didn't want me in the Army anyway.
Oh, my. And, right, whether you pursued a theologic Army role or not.
But he married us at First Baptist here in Rockland when it was where there's an antique store now right on Main Street.
Oh, yes.
And, so... I'm wondering, could I read a poem about her, about the problems we're having with the gas plants and so forth?
Well, by all means, okay. Yes.
The child's politician for Phyllis. She searches out hidden documents and false talking men who want to take advantage of our poor but beautiful little sea city. Corporate criminals abound. From our Wyeth temples to those who want to mainline poisonous gas. Is there an advertising zeppelin hovering over City Hall with signs on the side saying, take us, we're easy. We need your money. We have no shame. The town of Malay, Piston, and the Nevilsons, mother and son. The state government won't protect us. They just allowed the unfriendly dragon more mercury in its breath. She shows me pictures of the gas, what gas plants look like. Chernobyl, as she predicted in her fable, she nervously read at City Hall last week. She spent her life protecting children, and now she's at it again. Thank God.
And that is... I think the mercury breath, that's the most frightening fact, that it was so matter-of-factual, little main DEP, and it was, but it wasn't, it was, they had some wonderful, elaborate justification for, well, it was more mercury, it really wasn't, or something like that. But as you said before, there are glad-handers and people ready to speak for big industry any time here. I love the Zeppelin idea, though. Don't give them that idea. Oh, my goodness. So, big gas, I mean, I looked back in the Rockland history and saw that there was a gas plant where they took coal and gas out of it, and it was a local institution.
Yeah.
And this is a sort of whole different process here. We're piping it from other parts of the country and promoting it. I mean, as opposed to being a local utility, it's this sort of global thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Could I read one more poem about the gas?
Certainly.
Okay. Now, I wrote this, submitted it to the Penn Bay Pilot, and they published it. And then by the time I got to the meeting, due to Mr. Lawrence, it had been totally changed, the procedure. It wasn't a regular town meeting. Everything was very controlled. Mm. And so this is what I wrote before the meeting took place, and I did not get a chance to read it at the meeting, which I said I was going to. Mm. And you can tell it's the real thing because I misspelled the word emissions. The emissions of gas for the children of Rockland. The mayor rushes in when he thinks someone is being critical and tries to stop the conversation, citing time restraint, repetition. What he doesn't acknowledge is that ordinary citizens may have ideas equal or superior to his own. Where are the experts coming from, and who is paying them for their testimony? Why was Rockland chosen? Was the governor's hand behind this so desperate for some positive economic news? Has anybody on the panel read the news about the misconnection of the household gas lines in the Waterville area, many of which had to be done over? Dangerous days. I was born in Knox Hospital, grew up here, and have been back for 10 years. I love Rockland. It does not need a polluting, ugly gas plant when its beauty and striking harbor attract visitors from around the world and provides a haven for artists, photographers, poets, and musicians. If a plant is built, I see disaster as time slips away and the care goes with it. I urge my fellow residents to demand a binding referendum to keep the money, men and women, away from our beautiful little sea city.
That's Kendall Merriam, and I think that demanding that binding,
referendum.
Referendum, awfully important, because I remember some earlier meetings where they kind of said, yes, we'll do that, but maybe, and the sort of vague uncertainty, which is just maddening. And, you know, you seem like you're just noting a difference between public servants and leaders, quote unquote, and the leaders are sort of self-appointed as leaders. As opposed, I mean, they may make perfectly fine public servants, but when they start leading, we end up with challenges like what you're just saying there, of a controlled meeting, the illusion of democracy.
Yes, that's true.
When you left Rockland, and you said this was for academic reasons.
Yeah.
And then when you left it, did you go to, was it another New England place? Or?
It was a place called Gordon College. It was a Christian college. And it took me 5 years to graduate because I had to spend a year working to get enough money in between sophomore and junior, but Phyllis and I were going together all that time, and then when we graduated, she went back to Paris where her father was stationed, and as I mentioned, I went in the army and got out, and she came back to Maine and had local jobs, and then we got married. And I had a job with a gentleman named Ed Coffin, who was a surveyor. He's not surveying, but he's still alive in his 90s. And he hired me because I was a history major, which you have to do a lot of research as a surveyor's assistant, but I'm terrible in math, which you also have to be good. And so we spent a lot of time going around to people's houses and meeting older people, you know, had stories, and he would collect photographs. And so It was a great boon to me.
I was about to say, as an, you know, as a budding historian, nothing like getting all these primary sources suddenly.
Yeah. And what I finally learned was not to do all the talking, do a lot of listening. So, and through him, I had my first article published in Down East about a cement steamship. Mm. And so we've remained friends all these years. But he's, you know, a really great guy. And I want to read one poem. It's a short one that I've written about lobstering. It's a little bit funny, but Lobster Moon for Anna and her crew of lobster wizards. This is, she and her husband run one of the lobster plants in Owl's Head. And it is bright. The light hangs over Owl's Head, guarding all those lobsters coming in from Arcturus. Why the hard shell expanding into soft? You made an honorable bargain. Books for giant ones. You ask me questions about the trade, but I know so little except words. 3 pages in Mr. Martin's 8th grade class. I must confess we could only stuff 3 down filled with sugar richness. The 4th we froze so Phyllis can do a watercolor of it when thawed. And when thawed, eat the model. The evening is calm. The boats protected, the lobsters crawling, attracting friends from across the universe to the sweet course. So.
Now, let me ask you something. Now, you've been awarded the honorific of poet emeritus here. Now, it seems that carries a bit of responsibility with it.
And yeah.
That's why I was very impressed by your statements on the gas plan, for example. That's putting your point of view into this contemporary event that's going on, and yeah. People are certainly looking for guidance from all directions right now because of the flim-flam game.
Yeah. I've done a lot of political poetry. There's been some anthologies of Maine poetry published, but I'm not in any of them, I guess because some of my poems are political.
Mm.
You know, I write, you know, I get an idea, and I choose a muse, usually, you know, somebody to write it for, and then I just sit down and 20 to 30 minutes write it, and Phyllis corrects them for me.
Mm-hmm.
But lately, you know, I haven't had to have many corrections, and it's a gift. I was a history major. I had no idea. My first real poem was published when I was 30. And I had no idea what I would be doing, and that I'd be a poet. And so it's a gift, and I give it away. And I feel very strongly that that's what I should do.
That's what you have been doing also,
yeah.
I think, in the local shops and things.
Yeah.
There you are.
I have a poetry route in downtown Rockland. And usually once a week I have 175 copies printed at Houston Tuttle,
mm-hmm.
and then I walk up and down Main Street. I have regular customers. Once in a while, I ask, people obviously out of staters, and sometimes they'll take them, and some people say, no, I don't like poetry, you know, and that hurts me a lot, so I tend only to give to my clients.
Yes, I wonder if you said, actually, I was like, this is a song. These are lyrics.
Well, I haven't thought of that. I'm a terrible singer. So.
Oh, my, you're right if he asked you. Go ahead and sing it. Now, I wondered, something you said really is interesting to me. You said, after you have an idea, you select a muse. And mm-hmm. now that muse, depending on who it is, your voice is going to be different in your writing voice then.
Yeah.
My mm-hmm. goodness.
Yeah.
Now, do you denote that sometimes in the poems, that this was to, or who the muse was?
You mean different people?
Yeah, yeah. When you're writing a poem, it, some of them may say for so-and-so or something like that, right?
Well, I mean, of course, Phyllis, I've written a number for her.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I do different people. But this, when we lived in Richmond, Maine, it was a really small town. I had a small root there. But here in Rockland, there are enough muses
mm-hmm.
that I can do almost, well, not all the time, but almost a new muse every time I write. And I've done well over 1,000 poems and over a dozen plays and some short stories and stuff. And it comes easily, and I feel it's something I should do. Now I'm 73, I'm getting a little weak, and I sometimes feel like stopping the poetry route, and Phyllis says, nope, you have to do it. And so I do.
Wow.
Even, I mean, I pay for it, and I don't charge anybody anything, so it costs me, I shouldn't say, you know, I pay 10 cents a page. Mm-hmm. And so it does cost me a bit, but I have friends.
Well, I notice also that you were listed in the state library system. They have a if not complete bibliography of your works, certainly a very large one.
Right.
And I can think of an awful lot of poets who won't even show up there ever. So there's something to be
said. I'll tell you something funny. I gave them a couple copies of my Lobstring Dictionary. And so one day, about a year later, I was in the library, and I went to see how many people had taken out, and I went there. And so I asked the reference librarian, and I said, what's happened to the books? And they said, oh, they were stolen. So I gave them more. And I just gave you 10 copies.
Yes.
And in a special lobster bag done by Orlando Young, not Young, Johnson, mm-hmm. who is an artist on Main Street in Rockland. He does these beautiful canvas bags, red, green, and blue, with a lobster design on them. And so when I give my books away, I give his bag, and then I just buy another bag for him, provides his supper. $16.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but, it's a good book.
And you're a very good person. I want to thank you. We're going to have to take off of here now.
Yeah.
And I want to thank you very much. And as you said, if people would like to read your poems, they simply need to go to any of many places around town and say, where's Kendall's poems?
But particularly Houston Tunnel. Yeah. Because they have free ones, and then they have ones you have to pay for.
Okay. All right. Well, look, thank you very much.
Okay.